Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
James Acaster here. The Great Benito wanted me to tell you that this episode was recorded pre-COVID times, so it might sound a little bit odd, some of the stuff that we're saying in it, like, well, that's not how the world is right now, but it was pre-COVID. So the Great Benito wanted me to tell you that and let you all know that this episode is recorded pre-COVID. So thank you, the Great Benito, for keeping us all, keeping everything in context. You're a good guy. Enjoy the episode. Bon appetito, Mr. Benito.
Turn the microphones up to high and listen to the sizzle of great chat. Welcome to the Off Menu podcast.
That is the voice of Ed Gamble.
And that is the voice of James Acaster in a way that I've never heard it before.
Yes, well, I thought I'm a bit under the weather and it started off quite high and so I thought I'd overcompensate by going quite low.
Yeah.
And then it's just all...
That is the voice of Ed Gamble.
It's a podcast where we invite a guest into the dream restaurant and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Who wouldn't love it?
Exactly. And our guest this week, James, is...
Thomasina Myers,
the first ever winner of MasterChef. She is a chef, and she founded Oaxaca.
Oaxaca, for those of you who don't know, is a Mexican food chain.
What?
Street food.
I mean, one of the best chains.
So great.
It's so delicious. We go there a lot.
I've been going there for some time.
You've got material about Oaxaca.
Got material about Oaxaca.
Yeah.
About stealing the spoons.
Try and remember to mention that.
Oh, I will try and bring it up.
But we absolutely love Oaxaca. We're very much looking forward to chatting to Thomasina. She really knows her shiz when it comes to Mexican food.
Yes. But listen, Ed, if she says a secret ingredient, I'm going to chuck her out the restaurant.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't even care. I'll do it.
And what is the secret ingredient?
This is bound to trip her up.
Because she likes Mexican food, right?
Yeah. The nacho fries from Taco Bell.
You think she might mention the nacho fries from Taco Bell?
Look, I know that chefs, they get lured in by junk food stuff. Remember, yeah. Tom Carriage?
Yeah.
So I reckon she's going to have a secret little soft spot for Taco Bell and their dream side, the nacho fries. If she says those nacho fries from Taco Bell, she is out of here.
Man, but what if we kick her out of here?
Yes.
And then we get barred from Oaxaca? I can't cope being barred from Oaxaca.
That's the point. We'll get people to go in for us. Send in the Great Benito.
Benito.
In a little disguise.
No, but they barred him anyway because they think he's the guy from Benito's Hat.
Oh, yeah, they do think that.
I think he's a rival.
I forgot that Benito's been banned from Oaxaca because they think he's Benito's Hat.
So if she says the Taco Bell nacho fries, yeah, she will be removed from the restaurant.
The trap is set.
Okay, well, I can see she's just arriving now, James. So get in your lamp.
Oh, sorry, squeezing in the old lamp. See you later, Ed.
And I'll go and open the door for her. Here is the off-menu menu of Thomasina Myers. Welcome, Tommy, to the Dream Restaurant.
Hello.
Welcome, Thomasina Myers, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
This, you took the genie in your stride there. That was a very relaxed approach. That's a genie that's just appeared in front of you.
Yeah.
Genie waiter.
Yeah. He's great. He's great. He's, you know, he's handsome.
Yes!
I think this...
Best episode we've ever done.
You know, I don't know how many episodes we've done, but this is the first time anyone's called the genie handsome.
Yeah.
There you are.
Been long enough.
How do you feel now?
I tell you what, wearing this sombrero paid off. I knew I'd get called handsome.
What about the moustache?
Yeah, that's true. I've been growing that for ever since episode one, to be fair.
Yeah, it takes you a while.
Only now has it reached like the handsome length. Yeah, pretty happy with it.
What's the most handsome length for a moustache, do we think?
That's a good question.
Well, there was a guy called Lalo who used to work in the cultural attaché. He was the cultural attaché to the embassy, and he had those wonderful curled moustaches. Mm. He once produced Como Agua para Chocolate, which is an iconic 60s film of the Laura Esquivel novel. So this guy is a proper dude, and he's got the curled moustache.
You said that name so fast.
Yeah.
I was very impressed.
This is such a highbrow podcast already.
Yeah.
So
let's bring it down.
Does it naturally curl?
I think he must. Can you imagine every morning looking at yourself in the mirror? He's got a really handsome twinkly. He must be about 75 or 80 now. Just looking at yourself and just curling with wax your little ends of your moustache. It must be quite gratifying.
Yeah. That's a nice thing to do. And throughout the day, something to fiddle with as well, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
I've never seen him fiddling. I think actually a moustache fiddler has got to be quite low down in the humanity stakes. I don't want to ever kiss a moustache fiddler. Basically.
Does that reduce handsome level?
Definitely.
Quite significantly.
I reckon.
If they're twiddling their tash, you don't want to go anywhere near them.
A grooming in the morning, that's fine. You can do that. But if you're twiddling it.
What about a beard stroker?
There's a lot of beard strokers out there.
Yeah.
I mean, now that beards are so omnipresent.
Cool, I think it's just like having a cat on your face, isn't it? So you want to stroke it.
Yeah, I think you probably want to stroke it.
What?
Yeah.
It's the only time Ed said something that I thought was weird. Little cat on your face? Are you a foodie?
Am I a foodie?
We ask everyone if they're a foodie,
it's
and we realise how inherently ridiculous that question
is.
Well,
I remember listening to one of your podcasts and you asking this question. Some people are really offended by that.
Yeah, sure.
And I am never offended by that, because what is wrong with being a foodie? Someone who's obsessed with food, thinks about it all the time, loves ingredients, loves just thinking what flavours go together, and basically thinks about food 24/7. What's wrong with that?
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that in the way you've described it. I think people think of foodies as there's some level of pretension to it, but I don't think there necessarily has to be.
It doesn't have to be.
It's a British thing, isn't it? Being very repellent to the idea of, like, you know, thinking too much of yourself or whatever. And so they think the British reaction to being a foodie is, oh, that must mean, like, you're a la-di-da, you know, even though... I mean, classic British stuff, going, oh, I don't want to be seen as a la-di-da foodie, and then vote Boris in. I mean... Come on, guys. You can't have it both ways. Oh, no, I don't want to be one of those la-di-da types, but I'll trust them to run the goddamn country. Sorry, it's not a political podcast. This gets my goat.
Angry young man today.
Well, just saying.
God, talking of goats. Now, that's a good meat.
There we go. What an ingredient.
Yeah, here we go. That's cool. Get back to that. Get back to some goats.
Goat barber Kerr. I mean, that is good. That is good. It's kind of like mutton, quite close to mutton in flavour, I think.
Can you tell by looking at a goat if it's going to be tasty or not?
I was about to say, because I was actually witnessing some goats last week with my daughter.
Witnessing?
And I was telling her that
the difference married?
Between a goat and a sheep is that the tail goes up or down. She was like, that is not true. But it's true, isn't it? A goat's tail sticks up and a sheep's tail goes down.
Yeah.
And a shorn sheep does actually look quite like a goat. Because she was saying, obviously, they look different. It's not the tail, it's all the fur.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just got the pun of Shaun the sheep.
Oh, from the Wallace and Gromit.
I've just got it.
You just understood it?
Yeah.
Because if you...
Yeah.
Shaun the sheep.
Yeah, if you shear it.
Yeah.
Because
Does everyone know that?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Kids just got it.
Really? Kids knew that?
Yeah.
Kids knew that when it came out.
I've genuinely just got it. I thought they just picked Shaun because it sounded a bit...
Oh, man.
Because of the sound.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Is Peppa Pig a pun?
I don't think so, because, okay, salt and pepper's good on pig, but I don't think so.
I don't think they're talking about that.
No.
Okay, I just wanted to check, because my world's been turned upside down with the
shoulder
sheep.
I know, I can see that. That's like,
What's the past tense for if someone...
Sheared, isn't it?
Sheared a sheep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ed Sheeran, there you are, he's got to be next.
Yeah.
Have you had Ed Sheeran on?
No, but when we do have him on,
You can share him.
Happen. We can share him.
That'd be good.
Well, he'd have to be the one shearing, right? Because it's Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran, yeah.
So we'd have to get him to shear.
Am I not the tash? You're going to lose the tash.
Oh, yeah. He had to shear my lovely, lovely tash off. That's fair enough. If anyone should do it, it should be Ed.
Yeah, I got to say.
Sheeran, not me.
No, not you.
No.
You're going nowhere near it.
Although my name's Ed Gamble, which is another sheep-based thing, I suppose.
Gambling lambs.
Gambling in the springtime.
Yeah.
Amongst the daisies. There you are.
So, yeah. That, and I do that.
I've only just got the pun of your name.
So you are a foodie.
Yes.
Yes.
When did you first realise you loved food?
My brother had an Action Man and I had a Cindy doll. And we did like making them a kiss. But yeah. And it was cool the way you could make his eyes go like from side to side. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But ultimately, I much preferred being in the kitchen with my mother. So my brother and sister would play in the playroom and I would cook with my mother.
Wow.
So that was quite early on. I think that was like 6 or 7, basically. It's quite early.
Great.
I basically like food quite early.
What sort of things could you cook when you were 6?
Well, I think basically it sounds a bit uncool, but I just liked being very close to my mother. Mm-hmm. So I would get a stool and I'd sit very, very close so that my body was kind of pressed up against hers. And then I just look at what she's doing. And I always thought it was quite fun. So we didn't really do much as a kid. My father worked all the time. My mother worked all the time. It wasn't fun. But then the cooking was fun. That was the one thing I could do. It was always fun. And she'd just teach me the cool stuff. Like, you know, she'd always have cheap ingredients, but she'd always make them taste delicious. So she'd show me how with an onion chopped and then cooked for 20 minutes in butter, it would suddenly be sweet and soft and just smell and taste delicious. And then she just transformed everything that went with those onions. And the same with the tomato sauce or white sauce. You know, she'd show me how if you really burnt the flour in the butter and got it all caramelized and then added the milk bit by bit, it just tastes really good and cook out the flavor of the flour. So all those like small basic building blocks, that's what I learned when I was kind of really young. And then it was only when I was kind of getting a bit older, like at school, desperate for any money at all, I just try and cook for people. Or show off to my parents' friends. Like there was this one friend, he'd come in from South America. He was really glamorous. And I used to try and, every time he came, I was slightly in love with him. I'd try and cook something more and more fanciful. So like profiteroles, I'd try and cook. Partly so I could eat the chocolate, partly because I was in love with him. I thought, you know, if I cook you profiteroles, even though he's like 20 years older than me or 30 years older than me, never going to work.
You can't deny profiteroles.
It is hard not to eat while you're cooking them. Also, like, make something in the night. Yesterday, I was making pancakes and trying to focus on making the pancakes. And during it, without even thinking, I ate an entire gingerbread man.
What did he do to you?
I was just laying there, but I didn't even think about doing it. I forgot that I was making pancakes and I had pancakes on the way. And I just saw this gingerbread.
Who has a gingerbread man in their house?
Good question. I was given it for Christmas and I didn't eat it. It's still lying around. I forgot about it completely. It's just in the cupboard. He had a little Santa hat on, a little icing Santa hat.
Mm.
And I opened the cupboard looking for the pancake ingredients, saw him, and just without even thinking, just straight down the gullet.
Do you only eat seasonal products on the next seasonal day?
I have to wait till the next day, I missed Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to go do it on pancake day.
But you do have to eat while you have to taste while you're cooking.
Yes.
That's the main mistake. Most like people who don't cook, who are like, it doesn't taste right. Well, did you taste it while you're cooking? We've got to taste it.
Yes.
Got to enjoy the process because, you know, otherwise...
Everything we're going to serve you today, I've tasted it.
Have you? Great.
Yes.
Great, I'm glad.
Even though we don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay.
You will taste it.
I will taste it.
Here's a question. In like a kitchen, when the chefs are tasting it, do they use one little spoon and then that's the last time they use that spoon?
It depends on the restaurant. So I've been in restaurants where they've got like millions and millions of spoons, or you're in a restaurant, like in my test kitchen, we have a jug of hot water. Mm. So then you can taste and then you can swivel around. Although actually when we're doing that, it's just us two, mainly me and Carlos, Mexican. Or you wash it under a tap and you keep the same spoon. That's what a lot of people do.
Because
it seems a bit weird to just use, 20 spoons, 20 times.
For my normal meals, I do that though. Each mouthful I have a different fork, different spoon.
No fingers?
No fingers at all.
No.
Just different fork, different spoon. Sometimes if it's a really big meal, I'm down to like chopsticks and stuff at the end.
Oh, nice.
Just anything that I've got in the cutlery drawer.
What about the measuring spoons? They're quite good.
Yeah. Normally start with them.
Because there's five in those.
Yeah.
Five in one go.
You ate that gingerbread man with a corkscrew, didn't you?
Yeah, had to. Poor little fella. He was terrified. Like James Bond. That's a good question about the spoons, though, Ed.
Yeah, because I was...
I'm very impressed with that question.
I always...
Never asked that before.
Imagine if it's loads of spoons or whether, I guess, in some
well, you can
bad
flip
restaurants,
it.
they're double dipping,
well,
right?
Well, you can flip it, too.
You can flip it?
Well, huh? So you taste it with the thing and then you're like, oh, I'm not really a chat, and you flip it and you use the handle.
Flip it that way. I thought you meant...
Yeah, I thought you meant just flip it over the top.
Upside down and just eat off the back of the spoon. Oh, so you're eating off the handle. I bought a spoon once for my mum in Italy. It's a wooden spoon. So this is quite clever.
You didn't spoon her, did you?
Huh?
Sorry, don't know why that came from.
I didn't spoon my mum.
Just get that thought out.
I didn't spoon my mother. And I certainly wouldn't have paid for it.
Yeah.
I bought her a wooden spoon. And it had, so one end, normal kind of spoon. What's the bit
I don't
called?
Know. I'm just going to...
What's the bit called that's not the going? Handle? The end that's not the handle.
The bowl?
The bowl, let's say. And at the other end, kind of like a smaller bowl, right? And then between the two, this groove that runs from one bowl to the other. So that what you can do is, you're selling the soup, and instead of like putting your mouth on that bit all the time, right, you bring it out, and then you tip it back, and the soup goes down the little groove
and
into
down
the
your
smaller
sleeve.
Bowl. You have a little sip, and then you can carry on stirring.
That sounds really messy.
Yeah, it does.
But
it's like when you tip it back, it goes down and burns your hand.
Oh yeah, she's burnt her hand a lot. My mother is riddled with burns now.
From the spoon.
Yeah, oh, yes, completely from the spoon.
We call his mum Kruger Hand.
Little Kruger, we call her Little Krugs.
Little Krugs.
Every time we go and visit her, where's Little Krugs at? She comes out, don't fall asleep.
That sounds my worst thing in the kitchen. Much worse than a foodie is a kitchen gimmick.
Right, okay.
I mean, that really gets my goat.
What are your worst kitchen gimmicks?
One present I was given by an unnamed relative.
Okay.
It was a rice cube.
A rice cube?
So it's plastic.
It's a good pun.
Cube, so that I could shape my rice into a cube.
Finally. All those years of just having piles of rice.
Yeah.
I know, right?
You want some corners to work with. Yeah.
So this is after you started working in food as well. So
yeah.
As soon as this happened, were you just getting loads of presents from family being like, she likes food, she knows what she's doing with food?
I mean, this one, I just don't know where it came from. But also the cube. I don't know why a cube. You kind of think a rice could be a lovely round, you know.
Like an arancini ball.
Round and rice seems to work.
Round and rice works.
Even a pyramid can be a bit, you know, 80s structural.
Uh-huh.
But a cube, cubism, I suppose in the 60s we could have had a cube.
But also it's the idea of using that at home. Like, who's going to do that at home and go, I know I'm sort of by myself or with a couple of other people, but I really need my rice in a cube right now.
Yeah.
You just spoon it out, wouldn't you?
Also, what do you eat with a cube of rice? What sauce do you have with a cube of rice?
Because also any sauce that you put on the rice is going to damage the integrity of the cube.
Yeah, and then how do you get flavour onto the top of the cube? The bottom of the cube's going to be great, but then the top's going to be... Mm. I mean, I don't know, it's just...
I guess whatever you're having with the rice, you also need a cube of that to sort of stack it on top.
To all be cubes like Lego.
Yeah. Lego food.
You build them all up like Lego and maybe make a big Lego figure of something you'd prefer to eat, like a juicy ham.
Jellied juicy ham.
Yeah.
You could put a cube of ham on top.
You could put a
big cube of ham. Rice.
God, it'd be a
ham,
big cube.
Rice.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
And a cube fried egg.
A big cube of fried egg.
Ham, egg and rice.
Yeah. If you were cubing a fried egg... Would you want the yolk still in the middle of the cube, so it's all white and you can't see the yolk, but you know it's in there? Or would you want it on the outside just for the first bites with the eye presentation?
I mean, you might get so cuboid in your head, it might send you over the edge, and then you start making cubed egg yolks. That would be so wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about a cube.
You feel
rice.
Like you're eating in Minecraft.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids love Minecraft, though. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You make the cubed rice for your kids and you say it's Minecraft food and they love it. And you could do that with like food that maybe they were more reluctant to eat. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, famously.
Yeah, a cube of Brussels. Yeah, I don't know. Again, a Brussels sprout is nicely round.
That's when you remember it was a while ago when they were all excited about the invention of the square watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the square watermelon?
Remember that?
I'm just thinking about a blue watermelon now for some reason. In my head, there's a blue watermelon.
There may well be, but I'm talking about the square watermelon.
I've never seen a square watermelon. Yeah.
It was in the news. It was on News Round. And in Japan, they'd invented a square watermelon, and they cost like $100 each. But they did it so they could stack them in fridges better in Japan.
I stole a watermelon once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where from?
Here we go. Call the cops.
It was from a shop in Mallorca. I was there after my A-levels. We had a dare about who could steal things, and I thought, you know, go for broke. So I ran down the road with a watermelon.
The most difficult thing to steal.
Yeah.
Did you subtly steal it, or did you just pick it up and run out?
I think I was like literally like shaking with laughter as I ran down the street because I was so funny.
It's like a true criminal.
Yeah.
like the Joker running away laughing with a watermelon.
Screaming, I just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way of concealing a watermelon to steal it.
No,
at all, is there?
She pretends to be like pregnant with child.
Yeah, but you can't be not pregnant when you go in a shop and then come out fully pregnant.
The immaculate conception, immaculate growth
in the back of a shop.
Yeah, yeah, and just as you leave, and just shout, "That food was sexy." Still a sparkling water.
Sparkling depends, actually. My you know, my daily bread is still, but when I'm sitting down in a restaurant, I love a bit of fizz.
Yeah.
It makes it feel a bit special.
Here's what I think now. Okay. Obviously, you know, it's a bit of something special. If it's so lovely and special and you like it so much, why not just have it every day?
Well, I guess your soda stream is not always everywhere. Like, you know, at Oaxaca, we've got it on tap, the fizziness. But if you haven't got it on tap, you don't really want to buy a plastic bottle just so you can have fizz. That feels a bit wasteful.
When you got the first fizzy tap in Oaxaca, was it the best day of your life?
It's so exciting. It's so exciting. But then my dentist told me it's not that good for your teeth, which is a bit of a letdown. So in my line of work, where I taste food 24/7,
yeah,
permanently got food in my mouth. So apparently that's not very good for your teeth. So then when the dentist said, and fizzy water's not very good, that made me feel a bit saddened. So before then I was going crazy with the fizzy water, and now I try and, you know, just obviously I eat all the sweets all day, but the fizzy water I've just got to draw a line at.
Right.
Yeah. Cola bottles, fine. Fizzy cola bottles, flying saucers, you know, cola cubes, all that kind of stuff, fine.
Yes.
Fizzy water, I've just got a limit.
Now, I know, I like that initially when we were talking about it, you said you don't like to have too much fizzy water because of the plastic bottles and the environment. And now the truth's come out and it's just because you want to eat more sweets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You got me.
This dentist, are they a bit of a punk? Sounds like they sound a bit, you know, like they should keep their opinions to themselves.
Do you think he's like the killjoy? He's the fun police.
Yeah.
Gone mad.
Yeah.
You mean I can't have some fizzy water?
Fizzy water. Also, you know, you're tasting food all the time for your job, stuff like that. And they're trying to like take all the fun out of it for you.
Yeah, they're basically saying teeth, you know, it's bad for your health. Your job is bad for your health.
You think this dentist should keep their opinions about dentistry to themselves?
Yes.
So what would you suggest the dentist say to Tommy when she goes in for a checkup?
Talk about whatever box sets they've been watching. And, you know,
Jaws.
Yeah, just talk about religion. Religion.
Keep it off teeth.
Like politics and religion.
Politics and religion. So essentially, you're saying you don't think they should be a dentist. They should just be sort of a friend looming over you.
Yeah. And just have a sneaky look at your teeth, but in a way that you don't really notice.
Give them an excuse to catch up with pop culture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can get on board with stuff and whatever.
Because otherwise, if you're a dentist and you just talk about teeth, you might think, you know, when you go to a party at night, well, what do you talk about? Can't keep talking about teeth all night. I mean, I met an ear surgeon at a party once, and he talked a lot about ear surgery. Oh, which, you know, was kind of interesting up to a point. But then after a while, you think, well, you know, maybe that's all I need to know about ear surgery.
Yeah. I would have said to him, I don't need ear surgery after this conversation because you're fucking doing my ears in with the stupid stories.
He would have said that as well.
Yeah, I can feel my ears are about to fall off if you say another thing about ear surgery, you boring bastard.
I like the way you say boring bastard.
Boring bastard.
I need to cultivate that.
And they'd hear that. See how he likes the sound of that.
Why did you point at your teeth when you said that?
Because I point at my teeth when I'm talking about ears. That's the way I work. Problems or bread? Problems or bread, Thomasina Myers? Problems or bread?
bread rubbed in garlic, charred, blackened, and olive oil. Oh my God, I made garlic bread last week. It's so good.
Yeah.
And it's here she so is, good.
The savior of the podcast. Garlic bread's the best bread.
It's just a revelation. Good. I was cooking a recipe for my column and I was like, this has got to have garlic bread. It was mussels and saffron and pernil because we're going a bit of French route. And I was thinking garlic bread is what we need. And then I thought, I mean, I can't swear. I was not going to swear, but not just
I said
parsley.
Boring. I said boring bastard.
Not, you did actually. Okay. Not just bastard parsley. What about some tarragon too? Because tarragon and butter. So I like loaded up this butter with salt and pepper and tarragon and parsley. Softly went. And then slathered on the bread. And that's the thing with garlic butter. You can't be stingy.
Yeah.
You can't be stingy. Yeah, yeah. Now, this is the other thing. Butter, right? Mm-hmm. Do people finally realise that butter's good for you now? I feel like there are still some people who think, for me, butter is like a health food. Weirdly, my parents don't agree, but butter, my granny grew up eating loads of butter.
Uh-huh.
She was like a model type. She used to hang around with like modelly people and a few actors and people like that. She was like glamorous. She like married a kind of racing driver. She was cool. She slathered butter on everything. Yeah. Every day, butter on toast. At work, some of the young kids think butter's bad for you and they have spreadable margarine in the fridge.
Right,
now
right.
That stuff is bad for you.
Uh-huh.
And it's got like what are those ingredients in it? They're not even natural, they're man-made. Butter is like full of wonderful, you know, micronutrients and omegas and all that good stuff.
People are putting butter in coffee now. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, that is
bulletproof coffee.
Yeah, that's mad.
It's like
I've not heard of this.
Coffee and then grass-fed butter.
A slug of grass-fed. I do think the butter should be from cows that eat grass and not kept in huge sheds.
Apparently, this is the one you've got to have for this coffee.
Yeah,
I'm too scared to try it.
I got to say, I eat butter with a lot of things, like a lot. Like, I mean, this is the other crazy thing that people do these days. They have a scone and clotted cream and no butter. I mean, don't they realise that the butter is the saltiness and then the clotted cream is sweet and creamy. They're different. They provide different taste elements to the scone. Why would you just have clotted cream?
I feel stupid. I've definitely been doing that.
I've definitely been doing that as well.
You've got to have the layer of butter first. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole different taste of it. Peanut butter on toast. Claggy and dry without the melted butter.
I agree with that. I totally, of course, go butter, peanut butter.
Yeah.
But the clotted cream, you've given me permission now. I'm definitely doing that.
Yeah. No, it's good. In our family, we take the dairies to extreme. Mince pies.
Yeah.
So you can buy a mince pie. That's fine because, you know, we're short of time these days.
Uh-huh.
Get some mince meat as well. You can either buy it or you can make it. Uh-huh. If you've bought it, you've got to stir extra brand into the mince meat. Then you put your mince meat in the oven. Then you take it out. No, you pinch mince pie. You open it up, put extra mince meat in because they never have enough. They're a bit stingy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Then you put your big dollop of rum, brandy, butter, whatever in.
Uh-huh. Inside.
Inside.
Oh, here we go.
No, hang on. You bake it first. Mince pie, mince meat
what
with the brandy
hell is
stirred
this
in.
It's gone all over the shop.
In the oven. Get it out. It's all like golden and crusty and steaming inside. Open it up. Put in the rum butter.
Yeah.
Pour in the cream.
Yes.
Extra tequila or brandy if you want.
Yes.
With my father, he then adds ice cream as well. But basically, that's the mince pie extravaganza.
And so you're just like pimping up a store-bought mince pie.
I mean, it's so good.
But hold on. Are you taking off the lid and putting the cream and the butter...
After.
And the ice cream in it and then putting the lid on it?
Yeah.
So then the lid goes back on?
No, not with the cream. So you put the lid back on with the butter. So the butter then melts all over the thing. And then you pour the cream on top of that. And then the brandy goes on top
of that. If I wanted to, though...
Yeah.
Could I put everything in the mince pie and then put the pastry hat?
You
back
have
on
permission
top.
To do that.
It does sound fun.
It would have to be a big mince pie. You'd have to make. Yeah. You could make a big mince pie from scratch.
I've got pictures on my phone.
Completely loaded mince pie. I do like the sound of that a lot.
Sound good.
So good.
Looking at me and Ed, do you think you can tell which one was raised on butter and which was raised on margarine?
I don't know which I was raised on.
Hmm.
Do you know which one you were raised on?
Yes, I thought I knew Ed as well.
No, I don't think you do.
Oh.
Were you a margarine boy?
I'm a little margarine boy. That's a little margarine boy.
See, weirdly, I think we had margarine in our house as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they did. They sold it well.
Yeah.
They sold it well.
They really did.
Yeah.
My parents didn't fall for it.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have margarine in the fridge now.
Yeah.
It'll be butter. Yeah. Straight up butter.
Currently got both in the fridge, but I don't know why. I don't know where the margarine came from.
Yeah.
I don't remember buying it.
Butter tastes better.
Yeah.
You got it for St. Swithin's Day, didn't you?
Yeah.
What's St. Swithin's Day?
I don't even know. It's the day that I buy margarine on, apparently.
It's supposed to be good for baking. It's supposed to be good for baking.
I was trying to do a joke about you eating things on the wrong days. The only seasonal day I could come up with was St. Swithin's Day, which is...
Yes.
So it just didn't seem like the right
Ed
joke.
Went to public school.
I was wondering if he was...
So you can kind of... They probably did something on St. Swithin's Day.
Yeah.
Kiss the girls.
Kissed all the girls.
Boys' school.
More of a challenge.
We'd all run out the school. We'd all get on a bus and we'd go and see if we could see some girls.
Hello. Happy St. Swithin's.
Pucker up.
I did it, Georgie. I'm right on the lips. I said life.
Yeah, that's me.
So, your dream starter.
It's really hard, this stuff, right? Just like...
It is.
Going down to like your favourite one thing.
It is.
So like for my starter, I cheated massively. So when I'm cooking, I like to eat lots of different flavours. I think a salad is a great starter, but not just like a lettuce leaf with no dressing on. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, you go down to your market and you see what's in season and then you put that thing on the grill and you chuck in some toasted nuts and you chuck in some... you know, lovely coloured leaves and you chuck in some cheese or you chuck in some parma ham, you make an amazing dressing, you throw in some herbs. So like char-grilled Jerusalem artichokes, toasted hazelnuts, blue cheese and radicchio. Or in the summer, it could be, you know, loads of rocket and mustard leaf and maybe just some, you know, garlic rub toast and some delicious goat's curd on. Just like whatever is lying around and looking really delicious. Mainly... So there's an excuse to put a really killer dressing on because I think anything with good olive oil tastes really good. And then dressings are just amazing. And again, fat is good for you. Olive oil is really good for you. And then just vegetables are so great. So it could be char-grilled asparagus with like a chili oil drizzled over it, some, you know, burnt butter breadcrumbs or, you know, just getting excited by whatever is lying around. But I like that because... You can make it in advance.
Yes.
Just throw it on the table. And also something quite fun about tossing a salad. You can chuck on the herbs. The salad leaves can look fun. There's lots of texture. You can make it look pretty with height. I was never good at making pretty food. When I did MasterChef, they were always like looking at my plates of food, just looking, what is that? Like there was one round.
Cube of rice?
There was one round where I had this pork chop and then I'd made this plum sauce. Which tasted great. The pork chop was beautifully cooked. And I just didn't know what to do with the plum sauce.
Right.
And it was kind of pink. And I, in a fit of panic, I poured this pink sauce all over the beautifully caramelized, like, char-grilled pork chop. And it just looked awful.
Should have used the sauce to write, like, a little message to the judges.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, don't pick me. But then I went and worked with Sky Gingell in Peasham Nurseries and it was an all-female brigade and a lot of them were artists and they just made the food look so bloody beautiful. And I got really into the vegetables there too and we used to go into the garden and just pick stuff, like pick the radicchio with these brilliant pink leaves and then all the artichokes or all the stuff. And then, yeah, it was just fun. And then making like garlicky... like parsley oils or basil oils or coriander pestos to drizzle on. So loads of flavour, definitely don't skip on the dressing and you know, just stuff loaded on. Like satisfying, hearty, beautiful. Yeah, that's I like that. I think that's a good starter, just to whet the appetite.
In a normal bowl or, and this is in the first place I had this was Oaxaca, a tortilla bowl.
A tortilla bowl, crunchy tortilla bowl.
Crunchy tortilla bowl.
I like...
Revelation for me when I had that for the first time.
Did you...
At your establishment, might I add.
Did you eat all the soggy bottom bit, which soaked up with all the juices and
the best
dressing?
Bit.
Yeah, it's the best
bit.
And the refried beans.
At the bottom, all the refried beans and stuff would all sog up the bottom of the bowl, and then you really scoop that up, have a lovely time at the bottom of that bowl.
Yeah, just kind of bathing and...
Yeah. And I was like, no one else knows about this. I'm real clever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you got that. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it used to be my regular Oaxaca order. I basically go through phases all the time wherever I go.
Yeah.
I do the same thing for a while, and it takes a lot to change it once I've changed it. You still got the cactus tacos?
They're James's favourite, I was just about to say.
Are they?
Them were my favourite, and then they went away, and I was heartbroken.
Yeah, that was Christmas. We've currently got my favourite, which is going to come off in the summer. I'm kind of mourning and eating them even more. Grilled mushroom, marinated in ancho chili, which is sweet, not spicy, mm-hmm. rounded, deep, earthy flavour. Marinated in that, like ancho oil, grilled, and then served with grilled cheese and a kind of salsa verde, fresh, vibrant, citrusy, tamatillo salsa, corn tortilla. Grilled cheese. Mushroom.
Mm. Very nice.
The grill, the like bit of grilled cheese that you've had on like the steak as well is, I'd not had something like that before, and that mm-hmm. is just brilliant.
Yeah.
I think you should serve bowls of those.
I know, yeah. Well, in
cheese bowls.
In some cantinas in Mexico, they serve just the cheese in this whole, like, they call it chicharron, which is basically crackling, you know, pork crackling.
Yeah. Mm.
But they do a cheese crackling. They just do this whole, like, of grilled cheese.
Oh, I mean, that's my dream. Just a big bit of grilled cheese.
Big whole bowl of grilled cheese bites that you
And you know what you can do with that slam. Stuff as well, which is really fun, is you can just crumble it. So when you really grill it, it really goes crunchy. You can just crumble it over stuff, which is like little kernels of crunchy, crispy, caramelized cheese.
Mm.
What's so the good. Secret of those cactus tacos? There's something in there. There's something in there that keeps me coming back. Is it the sauce? What are you putting in the sauce?
Well, I think the ones you're talking about, it's new potatoes, kind of, we saute onions, garlic.
New potatoes in the sauce?
No, not the sauce. The sauce, the cactus sauce.
I don't remember any new potatoes in the actual taco.
No, I think this one, the cactus and courgette one. You talking about that one?
Yeah, that's
summary.
What you're talking about.
Huh?
There's a bit of new potato, there's some cactus garlic,
yes,
onion,
yes.
olive oil, mint, tarragon.
Mm.
Chargrilled courgette,
mm-hmm.
Chunks of it, and then the cactus, which they have in smoothies in the morning in Mexico because it's so good for you, cactus.
Delicious, the cactus stuff at Oaxaca. I always get whatever cactus stuff is on there.
Do you?
Every time, yeah. I look for it.
Did you know that Mexico is mega biodiverse? This is what a scientist at Kew told me the other day when I was doing this event. It's mega biodiverse. So in England, we have 1,500 plant species. In Mexico, they have 30,000.
Wow.
So when you go to Oaxaca, they have all these crazy wild herbs, chepil, hierba de conejo, hoja santa, all these crazy things that taste so different to our herbs. So that's why we use tarragon.
Ah.
And parsley and chives and mint and all these different things to try and get some of the flavours of those
right.
crazy herbs.
Oh, man, I can't wait to make those tacos.
James, you're never making those tacos,
huh?
Mate. You're never making those tacos.
You can make those tacos.
I can cut up a cactus.
Yeah.
You can buy a cactus from the gardening shop.
You can saute an onion.
Garden centre.
Don't use a cactus from the garden centre.
Don't eat the spindles. They're bad for your
Yeah,
garden.
I won't eat the spindles.
But you can't...
That's okay. All you got
to
do.
Am I being an idiot? You can't go
Skin
to
it.
A garden centre, buy a potted cactus and then chop it up and put it in a taco.
You've got to eat an edible. You've got to eat an edible one.
You've got to eat an edible one, James.
Yeah. If it goes in my mouth, I'd eat it up.
I'm not coming to your house for cactus tacos.
That's edible. You'd
probably find a bit of plant pot in there.
No. Bit of soil, maybe.
Good for you, apparently.
For texture. Yeah. Thank you.
If you're like...
Backing me up.
Bio germ. Bio guts.
Bio dude.
Yeah, good for that.
So your starter is, you've listed a huge amount of different salads and potential ingredients.
It's a salad.
And I know it's a salad, but does it have all of those things in it?
It has whatever. Where, on my desert island? Am I on a desert?
You're not on a desert island. You're in the dream restaurant.
I'm in the dream
Unless
restaurant.
Unless you want to transport the dream restaurant
of course,
to
I'm
a
in
desert island.
So the dream restaurant, it depends what time of the month we're in.
Whatever time of month you want. Whatever month you want, whatever time of year.
You're telling me I have to be more specific.
You have to be more specific.
I don't know. I think it's pretty funny to have a professional chef on and the start of it is a salad.
Okay, do you know what? I'm doing curveball now. I'm just going to change it right now.
Okay.
As we speak, because I can't be more specific. So I'm going to have a cheese souffle and I'm going to have
opposite
a Castelfranco
salad.
Yeah. Salad on the side with toasted hazelnuts and pickled shallots.
What's Castelfranco?
It is a really cool bitter leaf from northern Italy. It's white with little pale pink flecks in it. It is the prettiest salad leaf you've ever seen.
Wow. Like a butterfly.
Yeah, it's like a butterfly. It is.
So cheese souffle and butterfly salad.
Yeah.
Got it.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Main course.
Mutton.
A beef.
Mutton.
Okay, sorry.
Barbacoa.
Mutton barbacoa. Barbacoa is
Ed's favourite band.
let's break that down. Mutton, old sheep.
Old sheep.
Old
Much
sheep.
Flavour. Good flavour. Like
tail
the goats.
Tail hanging down to the ground.
I mean, the goat, the goatiness in that mutton. I mean, it's got flavour. It's been eating grass for a long time.
It's had a lot of life experience.
It's got depth.
Mm, it's got stories.
Get the shoulder, put it in the oven, let the oven do all the hard work.
Yeah.
You can cook it as long as you want. Last one I cooked was 2 weeks ago. I had to have all the people from the Guardian Feast team for dinner.
What?
Yeah. Like,
how many people's that?
I had to cook for Ottolenghi.
What?
I know. Nerve-wracking.
That's petrifying.
Oh. Petrifying.
Dear God.
Petrifying.
Best Instagram account in the game, by the way, Ottolenghi's.
Oh, yeah?
Makes me so hungry. I spend like an hour scrolling through that.
Oh, it's
that. Food? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's food. It's not just selfies.
Having a great time.
Yeah. He might have a different personal one as well. But.
Yeah.
So he came over for mutton shoulder.
Yeah.
Who else do you have? Ronald McDonald?
Yeah, he came too, and he really liked it.
Yeah.
He said, this beats the bloody probably. Big Mac. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Hamburglar, he came over and went, you're lucky the Lamburglar's not here.
Different guy.
Yeah. My cousin.
Yeah. Same outfit. Yeah. Wool. Made of wool. The Lamburglar.
He's behind bars.
Yeah.
Come on! You've just learned about sheep puns and now you're doing some of your own. He only just got short of the sheep, but now he's doing behind
learner.
Bars. Very, very impressed by you, Ed.
I'm proud of myself.
Well done, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done. Leaps and bounds. Ottolenghi came round.
Barbacoa, they make in the Central Valley of Mexico. They dig a pit.
Oh, yes.
They put wood in it. They marinate their lamb or their goat with ancho chili. soft, sweet, rounded, deep, earthy guajillo, deep reddish, bricky color, less flavor, but great coloring. You could put this one had pasilla de Oaxaca or pasilla mije, which is a smoky chili from Oaxaca. You can only get it in Oaxaca. They hardly grow any of it anymore. It's kind of smoky and kind of petroleum tasting almost. It's so incredible, the flavor of that chili. So you basically get all these dry chilies and you take out the seeds and you taste them in a dry frying pan, just gently, quickly, because otherwise you burn them. You just want to bring out the flavors. Then you cover them in boiling water, rehydrate them, and then you grind them with allspice, cinnamon stick, cumin seeds, clove, black pepper. You dry toast onion, garlic, tomatoes, a bit of tortilla. You put it all in your blender. You've got this really deep reddish paste, whole head of garlic. Garlic, didn't I? And then you cook it. Then you marinate, you slather it over your shoulder for a couple of days.
The mutton shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did try it on my shoulders once, but it's stained. That's why I cover my shoulders all times.
I'll lend you straight on them.
All over those shoulders.
All over those shoulders.
And then I put it in the oven overnight because I was really worried about cooking for Yotam. And would it be good enough? So I had to really slow cook this shoulder to make sure you liked it. Yeah, and then the next day I stirred it with more of the paste, added the chocolate, added, a bottle of red wine, cooked it down until it became this kind of concentrated, like, pasty, slow-cooked shreds of mutton meat thing in my big cooking pot. And then we had it with corn tortillas and fresh slaw, wedges of lime, guacamole.
Mm.
That's what we had.
That's one of my favourite food descriptions on the podcast ever.
That sounds so good. Do you have a pit?
Delicious.
Do you have a pit to cook it in?
No, but I've my father's just built my kitchen. My father's just built all the staircases and windows and kitchen in my new house.
Wow.
He's cool. 78. Yeah. Pretty good, no?
Yeah.
And I got these. Can I mention a brand name?
Yeah.
Gaggenau ovens. I find it hard to control my eroticism. These ovens, they are so amazing, these ovens.
Horny ovens.
They are so horny. The way the door opens is so cool.
Shout out to Gaggenau.
Actually, the gas hob is not, it's Fisher Paykel. Also great.
Shout out to them too.
Yeah, they're also great.
They do kids' toys. This door, you're saying it's real sexy how it opens. How's it open?
It just, there's something about the kind of smooth click, and then it just goes whew, and it just glides open. It just
sounds nice, actually.
Who does
the ovens on the Great British Bake Off where you open the oven and then you slide it inside?
Memories.
You know, that they blow my mind. It's like a DeLorean or something.
Fuck that. Opening those ovens.
Did they, ask you on? Did you cook on that?
He's been on it. It was a disaster.
Wow. The word disaster gets thrown around quite a lot.
Delightful.
It went so badly, it became a meme.
Mine are high too. You don't want to kneel down for an oven.
No, I don't want to kneel down. Yeah, they're way too low.
Yeah, you want it high up.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, so really, the kitchen is stacked against you on that show.
No, James.
You had it. They were nobbling you.
They were nobbling me.
They were nobbling you, mate.
I wanted a pit, and they wouldn't give me one.
A pit? You wanted a pit, they wouldn't give you a pit? Shame I'd on love them.
It. Well, it'd be great if you went on Bake Off and you just dug a pit in that tent. And then you just made your cake in that. And I'm not using those ovens, I'm doing pit cooking.
Might be wasting your time, your precious cooking time.
But it'd be a good episode, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back on it. Rematch.
I don't think you're welcome.
How did the dinner party go? Did everyone lose their minds?
It was really fun, actually. I did feed them mezcal, so that was good. Clever. Yeah, always do that.
Ed loves that.
Everyone loves
it. You love that, too. We had a brilliant night where we had far too much of that.
Yeah, that was the last night that I loved it, though. Too much.
We went to a posh food testing thing in a test kitchen. Santiago Lastra's
Santiago. He's lovely.
And it was so good and we got absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
With Professor Green.
Yeah, we did. We got
He hammered. Likes Mexican.
It was a great night. It was a really good night.
It's a great night.
But his restaurant's opening soon, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Cole.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm gonna go back.
I want those skate tacos again.
He's a dude.
Sorry to plug another Mexican restaurant.
Apologies.
Santiago is a dude.
Yeah,
we love him.
Yeah.
He's good.
Also, though, you will destroy him. Is that right?
Will I destroy him?
Yes.
Take him down.
You aiming to destroy him?
Santiago, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, if you're listening.
Santiago came to my birthday party and drank so much tequila. Told on you.
That should be a part of the podcast, is that we have chefs come on and snitch on other chefs. That's a good idea.
That sounds so delicious, that mutton barbacoa.
Yeah.
I want to try it.
It's essential that you pair it with really wispy shaved slaw, like really finely sliced radish so you can see through them, and carrot and a bit of red cabbage, white cabbage, so it looks pretty as well. And then crunchy. Mexican food is a lot about contrast of texture, I find. You know, so you can have soft corn, unctuous meat, crispy slaw, lovely salsa, fiery heat.
So would the slaw be your dream side dish, or is your dream side dish something else?
No, that's the slaws on the taco, James. So what is the side dish?
Okay, so the side dish is really good.
Okay,
so you get some spuds. It's quite nice with new potatoes, this dish. So you boil them or steam them till they're tender, and then you smash them a bit, which is quite fun. The rolling pin or your hand or
depending on
or
how
something.
Angry you are.
Yeah, or jam jar. Yeah.
Throw them against the wall.
Yeah.
And if they stick, they're cooked. Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good. Is that with all food?
I don't think a new potato. I don't think new potato sticks. You're wrong there.
They're never ready.
He's a fraud. And then you mash it, and then you don't mash it. You just smash it a bit. So you just squash it a bit.
Yeah.
So you break the skin
a bit.
You
lean on them a bit. This is not a full mashing, but I'm coming for you if you mess
it up. I'm coming for you. Yeah.
So you lightly crush the new potatoes.
Yeah. Then my favorite instrument in the kitchen. You get your pestle mortar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one. It's none of these piddly small ones where you can't do anything because everything's flying out. It's a really big, heavy one. And in the bottom of it, you put, you know, 3 or 4 really fat cloves of garlic, not the supermarket kind, but, you know, the stuff you get from a proper food purveyor, like a market or something. Big fat cloves of garlic, smash them up with some sea salt, some peppercorns, loads of thyme. You can put rosemary in there too, or oregano or marjoram, but thyme is great because you can buy it in the supermarket. And smash all that up. Then you put lots of olive oil on, like, you know, masses, 100 mils, 5, 6, 7, 8 tablespoons, mash it all up, this garlicky thyme black pepper paste, and you smear it all over the potatoes, and then you put it in the oven, really hot oven, and then you roast them until they're all crispy, crunchy, golden, garlicky, delicious.
Mm. How big is this pestle and mortar when you said about it?
I bath in it sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, bubble bath.
And the pestle, actually, which is the pestle, which is the mortar?
Good question.
The mortar goes.
The mortar's the baseball bat.
The smasher one. Yeah.
The baseball bat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the pestle's the bowl.
The pestle is the bowl.
Yeah.
Pestle on its own is quite a funny word.
Yeah.
You never hear it on its own.
No one's just going, just get me a pestle.
Yeah, I've got the mortar. I've bought my mortar.
It sounds like one of those things you put up your bottom.
Huh?
What is one of those things you put up your bottom? What's that called?
One of the things you put up your bum?
What is it? What is that? In medicine.
There's loads of different things that
you've spoken to enough medical professionals in your time. You're talking about your ear doctor friend, your dentist. I'm sure you've spoken to some arse doctor who's got many, many, many stories about all the people.
Pessary. It's a pessary.
A pessary?
What's a pessary?
It's when they put something up your bottom.
I thought that was a suppository. Bum. What's a suppository?
That definitely is something that goes up your bum, I think.
Your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
But, yeah, I guess what...
Stop saying that.
Sorry. Although, what we've learned is you can anything can go up there.
Apart from your pestle, because it's too big, right?
It's too big.
You could fit a butt in the pestle.
You fit a butt in the mortar.
Butt plug.
She's lost it.
Yeah.
Thomasina's absolutely lost it for the listener. She said butt plug and she's absolutely losing it, laughing her head off. Absolutely losing it. I just can't stop laughing now. We do well to get her back in this episode. absolutely losing it now. Mate, I don't know if
the
it was
the first episode. We don't even make it to the drink.
Yeah,
the guest said butt plug and then laughed.
Can't stop laughing about it. Mainly because you're thinking of the pestle as a bathtub, and so there'd be a plug in the bathtub, wouldn't there?
Oh yeah, there would be a plug in the bathtub.
Maybe that's
plug in the bathtub. Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, butt plug. Yeah.
Just put it together.
Just wipe the tears away from your entire face.
I'm back.
So that sounds, I mean,
the sounds delicious.
The potatoes sound delicious.
Even though we arrived, the butt plug.
Yeah.
That's not your side dish.
No.
The butt plug is not on the menu.
Yeah.
In any way. But the potatoes sound delicious.
Stop saying that.
What? Does that potato dish have a name? Please don't say butt plug again.
Crispy garlicky spuds.
Crispy garlicky spuds.
Spud plug.
Your drink now. A lot of tequila going on in Oaxaca. I had the tequila flight once. Very nice.
I'm straight up margaritas.
I love tequila any which way. I mean, tequila is just the best drink ever. So basically, your agave plant sits there in the sunshine for 10 years sunbathing, and then all that solar energy is like put inside a bottle. I mean, no wonder it makes you feel so good. And dance. Don't you want to dance when you drink? Tequila's different from mezcal, by the way. Have you worked that out? That when you drink mezcal, you don't have the same feeling. But when you drink tequila, I mean, I know that my more snobby Mexican aficionado friends think it's just mezcal. But there's something joyful about tequila.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to a music festival, I'm always armed with a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
That is like dance magic.
I'd say mezcal doesn't make me want to... I as much as I enjoyed drinking all that mezcal with you, Ed, I did feel pretty sad.
Yeah, mezcal made me want to get an Uber home.
Yeah.
But it was delicious, though. It had coffee. It tasted Schmoggy. Like coffee.
It did taste like coffee. It was very, very nice.
Yeah, and I love whiskey. And mezcal and whiskey taste, they got lots of comparisons. Mm-hmm. Schmoky, peaty, delicious. But, yeah, I think tequila is a diamond drink. Tequila with chocolate is very good. So chocolate ice cream... homemade chocolate sauce. Vanilla ice cream, homemade chocolate sauce with lots of tequila in it. That is killer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Sounds really good.
Exactly what I'd like to drink. Is that a drink?
No, that's not a drink.
Well, tequila poured over anything, actually. Any pudding.
Mm.
You know, sorbet, in a mousse, tequila can pretty go with
it. You could do a chocolate and vanilla milkshake with tequila in it. Would that work?
Yeah, you could do that.
But we're all agreed that if you pour tequila over anything, it makes it a drink.
No, we've not said that makes it a drink.
If it's in a glass.
If it's in a glass.
A slice of apple pie in a glass and pour tequila over it as a drink.
No, you lost your mind. What is your actual dream drink, Thomasina? Is it a tequila-based drink?
Well, I was going with a salad riff here, thinking, is it going to be wine? Is it going to be whiskey? Is it going to... I love beer too. I love a shandy. Really nice ale from a pub with a bit of elderflower.
And you're just doing what you did with the starter, where you're naming all the drinks and then you're going to stop and look at us as
busted.
If that's your choice.
I remember a supply teacher once at my school was teaching a lesson, and whatever we had to like write about our weekend or whatever. And she was like, for example, I would say, if I'm talking about my weekend, me and my friends, we went to, there's this lovely lake near my house. We went for a lovely walk around it. It's in the sunshine, and we stopped at a pub. And we had a shandy, and then a kid at the back of the class went, "You're hard." And I absolutely loved it. One of my favourite heckles at a teacher. We had a shandy. "You're hard, miss."
Now, I enjoyed that that story for a number of reasons. Firstly, the story itself. And secondly, when you said shandy, Thomasina very quietly whispering into the microphone, "Hand shandy."
Is that what you said? Didn't even hear that.
I that's slander.
we're recording this.
Since butt plug, you've become an absolute... so blue. I was so engrossed in my own story, I didn't even hear the heckle. I was doing a story about a teacher getting heckled and getting heckled myself. Hand shandy. Are you suggesting my supply teacher told us all that they stopped at a pub and wanked each other off?
No, that's disgusting.
Yeah, that is disgusting, actually, James.
Yuck.
So what's
tequila.
Tequila.
I think tequila. It's got to be tequila.
With anything or just straight up tequila?
I really like sipping tequila with beer. That's really good. So like you're sitting down, having your meal, and you've got really good beer and then you're sipping your tequila alongside.
We can get you that. We can get you a cold beer and a little tequila alongside.
Sipping tequila.
That's great.
What do you think about this, though? I've got a friend who does really big sips.
It's me. I'm the friend. Big sips.
That's his nickname.
Big I do sips. Big gulps.
He does real big sips, and whenever we're out for a drink, he finishes his drink way quicker. So sipping tequila would not last 2 seconds with him.
That's where you have the beer.
Yeah, but I'd do that in two or three, I think.
Just such big sips. It's crazy.
Are you asking me to help this man? What is a psychological, you know.
What do you think of it? Like, it looks the same as anyone else taking a normal sip. So it's not like he goes, and is really like going for it. He just goes, normal little sip, and then puts it down, and half a glass is gone. And I'm like, how did you even do that? Like a pelican. Just draining it.
Pelican.
That's why I tend to burn out on a night out at around 10:30, though, I think.
Yeah.
Because I've had such big sips.
Yeah, maybe you need to get that, like, sparkling water alongside.
Mm. Yeah, or maybe a sippy cup. Like a kid's sippy cup.
Not gonna be good for your look.
No, I don't know. I can make it part of my thing. I could start dressing as a baby.
Yeah. Start dressing as a baby with his little sippy cup.
Yeah. And then when anyone goes, why are you dressed as a baby? I was like, my sips were too big. What sort of beer are you having?
I like a brown ale.
A brown ale?
Or a brown lager or a kind of light ale. I quite like the old fashioned, like John Smith, mm-hmm. or London Pride, or what I discovered when I was feeding my baby, because you're supposed to like drink Guinness.
Feed your baby Guinness.
Brown ale to your little baba.
as a feeding mother, you're supposed to drink lots of Guinness. And then I discovered this thing called milk stout. Now that stuff is delicious. It's light stout, but it's got a bit of lactose in it. Gives it this kind of milky, slightly not sweet but just less bitter. It's bloody delicious.
So would you like a milk stout and a sipping tequila?
No, I'd like an amber. I'd like a brown lager, an amber.
You only want the milk stout if you're breastfeeding, right?
Well, no, I actually still like it even when I'm not anymore. It's okay. Quite good, but maybe in the winter, not really with my sipping tequila, just separately, just as a like thing sometimes. So
like an amber ale,
yeah,
and a sipping tequila.
Yeah,
lovely.
Here's a question for you. When does a sip become a gulp?
You're obsessed.
Listen, man, it's your. I'm trying to help you.
Okay, let's try.
You need to help
me. Try.
I'm fine.
That was a gulp.
Oh, so the gulp is when it goes down.
A gulp is the going down bit rather than the size of the amount of.
And the gulp is, yeah, it's not about volume.
See, look at this. I've got that much water left.
Yep. That's like a centimetre.
Is that two sips for you?
Yeah, or three.
Really?
Yeah, they're definitely three.
There it goes. I don't even know how you did that.
That was just magic. It's like I've never CGI. Seen that before. That's like he needs help.
That's just a normal. That's a normal sip.
It's not a normal sip. You didn't see it from the outside. It looked freakish.
Nothing normal about that.
Yeah.
How much water did you drink a day, James?
You disconnected your jaw like a python. We arrive at the dessert, my favourite of all the courses, and I'm feeling pretty optimistic because you've mentioned mince pies in great detail, and you've mentioned putting tequila over ice cream. It sounds like a good course we've got coming up here.
I mean, it's just, this is quite a boring one. I didn't put much salt into the pudding, actually.
Oh, no.
Interesting.
Because quite often I just make these like chili spiced tequila infused chocolate truffles. And then we just hand those out at the end of a meal. And then I
that
thought...
That sounds delicious, though.
So then I thought back to... because I like cheese as well. I do like cheese. My husband, for instance, would like a Welsh rabbit for pudding.
Well, your husband can go to hell.
Your husband sounds like a good guy. I'm on board with that.
But listen, pudding, I think classics are the best, right? So
you can pick cheese if you want, Tommy. You know.
Well, I think you have
if you
to
want
get
to join your husband in the eternal fires of Hades.
I think basically any booze with pudding because it can't be too sweet. I think pudding's too sweet, it slightly ruins it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Booze offsets it and also makes you drunker, which is a happy, you know, coincidence. Creme brulee is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Toasted caramelized sugar.
Yes.
Is good always. So yes. I like that. And then creamy underneath, you could put a bit of, you know, sauterne in there. You could put, you know, you can put any kind of booze in that cream. I don't want to put stuff on my creme brulee. I want it pure, purist. Or a tart. I mean, a tart is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
A crumbly,
Yep, yeah, you just made yourself laugh at the word tarts now, haven't you?
You laughed first.
I didn't laugh.
Yeah, you did, James.
Yeah,
yeah, because you knew what was coming.
What are you insinuating?
I know where this is going.
A crumbly, buttery pastry that like melts in your mouth, like, is just so good. So like a treacle tart or a kind of nutty almond pastry tart with maybe some fruit on it, baked, so it's all caramelized and crispy and crunchy and a bit chewy, slightly chewy when it's gone kind of caramelized. That is good with lots of double cream poured over.
Yes.
So which maybe I have the tart. Maybe
I think
the
you
tart.
Convince yourself of the tart there.
Yeah. Kind of tart is this?
It is a frangipan. Yes. It's a fruit frangipan tart with some booze poured over, vanilla ice cream, double cream. Maybe it's a treacle tart. Do you like a treacle tart? Or the creme brulee?
No, the creme brulee's out of the running now.
Creme brulee's out. It's going to be...
Treacle tart?
Treacle tart with cold pouring cream.
Yeah.
Sounds nice.
Not too sweet.
Pretty sweet, though.
Lots of fresh lime, bit of treacle, lots of golden syrup, old breadcrumbs, using them up. And that cold pouring cream. Nice.
Delicious.
So old good. Breadcrumbs. That's Ed's nickname.
Yeah. Old breadcrumbs, big sips.
I read your menu back to you now. Sparkling water. Bread, rubbed in garlic, chard. Starter, cheese souffle.
Olive oil.
With olive oil on the bread, absolutely. Starter, cheese souffle with the butterfly salad. Or Castelfranco.
Olive oil.
Olive oil on the starter as well. Main course. Mutton. Barbaca with shaved slaw. Side dish of crispy garlicky spuds. Drink, amber ale with a sip of tequila on the side. And dessert, a treacle tart with cold pouring cream.
Delicious.
I would most like that mutton. I want to try that so bad. And I want to try the spuds actually, but you gave the recipe on that, so maybe... I think people should try and make that at home.
Definitely.
So easy.
Got the full
so
recipe
good.
There.
Is but
there
by like the way, they shrink. The potatoes shrink. You always have to make double what you expect to eat and they still always go.
Thank you very much for coming into the Dream Restaurant, Thomasina Myers.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
There we have it.
Oh, she said nacho fry.
No, she didn't, James. She didn't say nacho fries.
Then who did I just kick out the restaurant?
Well, you kicked her out the restaurant, but she was leaving anyway, so it didn't make sense.
Oh, I was very rude to her.
You shouldn't kick the guests in the bum when they leave.
That's what I do every time. It's customary in the genie world.
An amazing menu, wonderfully described, got to say.
Delicious.
Mutton barbacoa probably goes up there with one of my favourite dishes we've ever had on the podcast.
Yeah, I loved that description. Also, a lot of detailed descriptions, not just like, you know, what the food's made of and, you know, the ingredients, but how to make it.
Yeah.
So, listeners, come on. Get involved.
We want to see you making those potatoes. Send us some pictures. If you make the potatoes, listen to the podcast. She tells you exactly how to do it. Make the potatoes. Send us a picky. Go back. Listen to the Marcus Samuelson episode. Listen to how you make gnocchi.
Yeah.
Make it. Send us a picture.
Listen to how Susie's grandmother makes the lemon drizzle cake. Make that. Tweet them all at Benito.
Listen to how Joel Dommett makes a fizzy strawberry protein shake. Make it.
Yes.
Throw it in the bin. Don't send us a picture.
And make sure when you tweet any pictures, you say, "Dear Benagorgan, I have made the dish. Please don't kill me. Please don't eat me in the upside down, Benagorgan."
So don't forget to message the Benagorgan on @OffMenuOfficial and @OffMenuOfficial Instagram and Twitter, respectively, or the other way around. And pop yourself onto our website, offmenupodcast.co.uk. Thomasina, a wonderful guest. Obviously, go to Oaxaca if you've not been.
Yeah.
What are you doing with yourselves?
Yeah.
Check it out.
You got to go.
You got to go. They've got a cookbook all about how to cook Mexican food at home. Get that as well. Remember, cook some dishes from that. Take a picture. Send it to the Benagorgan.
As an offering.
As an offering. Please, Benagorgan, don't kill me.
Yes.
So thank you very much for listening to the Off Menu Podcast. We will see you again sometime soon.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ever wondered about the world's greatest mysteries? Who built the pyramids? Where is Bigfoot?
I'm over here.
Is time travel possible?
Oh no!
From invisibility to whether aliens are living amongst us. It's Microscope, the improvised comedy show from the award-winning John Kearns and me, Matt Ewins, an all-round nice guy.
Where's it available?
I'll tell you. iTunes, Spotify, Acast, and all the other places you get podcasts from. It's Microscope.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.